proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
I pray that you are enjoying this journey in this topic that is so vital to our daily walk, because this is what we are facing on a daily basis. Spiritual warfare is on, and the darkness has pulled out all the stops. This is part number 4, and I want to highly encourage you that if you've not had time to listen to the previous parts, that you do so. It gets a broader understanding of what this is. The more information, the more scripture, the more examples that we have on a daily basis. Life, daily living, daily reporting in our world, the more we can understand what this challenge truly is. So welcome to the program as we continue to unmask the schemes of the devil and learn how to fight him and win. This is very important. We can win this spiritual warfare. This is part number 4, and I'm Nena Arias. As the spiritual warfare becomes more bold, God's people must not only become more bold as well, but we need to go on the offensive. A team that plays only on the defensive side of what they are doing, they're not playing a complete game. They have to learn the offensive. We need to preempt the enemy's activity. We have all the knowledge. We have the tools, the strategies to see him a mile away. And should we miss something, we also have the gifts of the Spirit to have discernment, to know immediately the odds that we are facing. Even with things that are unexpected, we can see the devil a mile away and discern him at the very precise moment that we need to know what's going on. We prepare ourselves and our children from childhood, preferably, which is why it's so important to teach children biblical principles from the time they are born, from the time they can understand, at whatever age level they are. They need to learn also to recognize the enemy's traps and unmask them and let the children know that they're never too young to fight the spiritual battle. A very important clarification that I must make at this point, whether you know it or not, please listen carefully. And that is that we must understand spiritual warfare, and we must have a true understanding of who God is and who Satan is. And as basic as that may sound, too many people do not know how to discern the difference. Most people think that Satan is the spiritual counterpart of God in every aspect. What do I mean by that? People believe that Satan has attributes in the world of darkness like God does in his realm of light. They think he is equal in these attributes. And this is false, absolutely false. And people live in terms of what they understand in this area. Let us clarify. Satan is a created being. What does that mean? That means he is limited. There's no way, no how, that he could equal the knowledge, the power, the understanding, the abilities of God. For instance, he is not omniscient like God, meaning all-knowing, that there is nothing that escapes the knowledge of God. Satan does not have that ability. He may pretend that he does, but he doesn't. Satan is not omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere at the same time. Oh, he may have agents that are working for him, that report back to him what's going on, but Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at the same time like God can. God is everywhere at exactly the same time in every happening. And certainly, Satan is not omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, like God is. God is not limited in any way, shape, or form to have access to the power that he needs. Satan is nowhere near. Now, yes, he is a powerful being. Yes, if we confront him on our own merits, we are no match for him, and we should not confront him in our own merits. The only merit we have is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, meaning that Jesus defeated him, and Satan has to respect the blood of Jesus wherever it is present, which it is in the life of a believer. But notice what it has to go coupled with. It has to go coupled with a good testimony that we are living upright before God. If we just depend on the blood of Jesus, but we are not living according to his standards, we will be in trouble. Now, of course, there's a process through all that understanding to become fully mature and fully grown in Christ, and that process will go on all the way up to the very moment when we depart this earth for eternity. So yes, we're always learning, we're always growing, but it's quite different when a person knows that the requirements of God and is not practicing them willfully. So the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is what Satan has to respect. So I hope it's very clear that Satan is nowhere near comparable to God's abilities and God's attributes. Having said that, we must ask, well then, how does Satan and the world of darkness operate? That's a valid question, because they seem to be very effective and very busy. But again, they pretend to have the attributes of God. And what is worse, they convince ignorant humans that they do have these attributes, which is why it's so important to be in the Word of God, to permeate our mind and our thoughts with the wisdom of God. The knowledge of God must be hand in hand with his wisdom. Knowledge is to know what God is saying. Wisdom is knowing how to apply that knowledge. So they go hand in hand. So unless we know God's knowledge and we apply it and we can detect it in the works of the enemy through that understanding, the enemy can fool a lot of people. So yes, they pretend to be God. They are well organized, they have ranks, and they are forced to follow orders lest they are punished. They function in fear of being punished. We read this order or these ranks or the different degrees that these rulers have in the world of darkness in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. That says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. End of quote. Notice the different categories that are used here. There are rulers, there are authorities, there are cosmic powers, there are spiritual forces of evil, and all of these function in different capacities. And so we know that there's a structure to the enemy's army and how they are used. The demons work through fear and oppression from their boss. That's right. That is how he controls them. God, on the other hand, everything that he asks us to do, everything that he presents to us, we always sense his love, his concern for us, his genuine interest in us, for our best, for our good. Not so the realm of darkness. Just like Satan has limits that he cannot cross unless he is allowed, these demons cannot cross those limits either. These demons have to obey the boundaries that are placed upon them. They cannot run rampant unless they are allowed. When a person has demonic activity in their life, it's because the door has been opened. And there are so many ways that people open the door for demonic activity in their lives. To begin with, they're now born again. And if they do claim a born-again experience, they're not living the life. So, doors can be opened in many ways. They can be opened by listening to the wrong music. When Christians listen to the wrong music that is inspired, that is birthed out of celebrities and singers and artists who are stimulated by drugs when they write their songs, when what they're saying in the lyrics of their songs are lewd acts, cussing, denigrating humans, all of that can open the door to the enemy into your life. If you watch horror movies in your home, that can open the door for your home to have demonic activity. So many people are not even aware how they are opening the door of their lives for demonic activity. How common is it for people to bring out a Ouija board or two at a party, and they start playing with the Ouija board, and things happen? Things happen. There's a door being opened right there to the spiritual realm that is not the realm of God. So on and so forth. There are many ways that demons influence sinful human behavior in human beings. On the other hand, Christ imparts his followers the fullness of God's life to overcome them, to overcome these influences. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, we read the following. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident we are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." End of quote. Let's look at this. It says that whoever practices sin is of the devil. Now, how do we separate one thing from another since we are all sinners? Well, it answers this question in verse 9. It says, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning." Meaning that once we are born again, the Holy Spirit convicts us whenever we have to change something in our lives, and we have to begin to make that transformation in our behavior. And that is how we grow spiritually into the fullness of Christ. But if you say you're a Christian and you keep on sinning, that verse continues to say, he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So if you keep on sinning, then we have to question whether you were born again or not, or you want to or understand what that commitment is. And that is how it is evident who belongs to God and who does not belong to God, who is a child of God and who is a child of the devil. And it can be something as practical as how that verse 10 ends. It says, "Nor is one who does not love his brother." It can be even in very daily occurrences and attitudes that we have toward people and circumstances where we manifest that we are not of God. Do you see how subtle that is? But at the same time, in the spirit, we have a very, very sensitive teacher and guide that convicts us right away whenever we say something mean or cruel or hateful or nasty or lewd or despicable. The Holy Spirit immediately brings us conviction of this. So these verses really guide us in what it means to be a child of the devil and a child of God. So what determines if the sons and daughters of the devil will succeed in their endeavors? They can only succeed if God's people allow them. So as you can see, to be born of God in Christ is no small matter. We receive a new dimension beyond all expectations. This is why living the Christian life, the way we learn it from God's Word, is an adventure. Every single day is an adventure. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace." End of quote. It may sound repetitious when we read grace upon grace, but what that is telling us is that there are levels. There are levels that we need to experience in this fullness that we have received. Don't be satisfied with small amounts or repetitious experiences. Always look for that grace upon grace, level upon level, line upon line, building your faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." End of quote. Wow. Did you hear what we just read? I don't know about you, but to read that we can be filled with all the fullness of God, that just blows my mind. I am simply speechless at that thought, because even the most magnificent things that I can imagine about God, and even as I look through his word, he is still far above and beyond all that that I can comprehend. So there's no limit to the all or the fullness of God, yet we have access to it. Wow. Wow, that really blows my mind, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we read, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. End of quote. Again, we can grow in maturity, in knowledge, in faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is why Jesus coming in the flesh to earth to defeat sin and death and the works of Satan is so powerful for us to know. Because if he did it, he had victory over all this, and now he's given us access to that victory. So we can have the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, like he had in a human body. Was it easy for him? No. And it's not easy for Christians who walk in the fullness and the stature of Christ. We're persecuted, we're hated, we're rejected, we're misunderstood, on and on and on and on are the negative experiences that we can have as a result of being in the fullness of Christ. But what do we want to have? Human approval or God's approval? Do we want to have the applause of humans? Or do we want to have the approval of God? That's the prize. So to be born again in Christ is not an imaginary experience. It's not something you imagine in your mind, and it's very real. And we don't have to wait until we die to manifest his fullness in our daily living. Now, this is where a lot of questions come into mind, because if this is true, and there are so many people upon the face of the earth that say they are Christians, why aren't we seeing the fullness of Christ in those who say they are following him? And in this lies our challenge. Why am I not manifesting the fullness of Christ? I have to ask myself that. And in every situation, endeavor to do what Jesus would do, say what Jesus would say, according to how I understand it from his word. John reminds the faithful believers of the clear divide among humans, and this divide is irreconcilable because one or the other dominates culture. And I'm referring to what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. End of quote. We've been reading that over and over again because there is a clear divide there. Whatever side you want to be on, you have to make it very evident. Ideas produce fruit or evidence after their kind. Just as biblical Christians are in this spiritual war, and just as Christ already destroyed the works of the devil and his fallen angels, we must do likewise. And if we want to keep identifying with him and stay on his side, we can do no less than Christ did. And that is what God expects of us. And don't put Christ on a level that excuses you from not fulfilling what God expects. Because remember, all his victory he won in a human body. And that eliminates all of the excuses we may want to present of why we are not living like he lived here on earth. Christ's disciples must confront all opposing philosophies and defeat them, but not with our simplistic human arguments, even though they may sound eloquent, rather with the knowledge of God exactly the way 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says. And I read, "The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." End of quote. Isn't that precious? That is so precious, because it clearly tells us how we fight this battle. Every thought, every argument, every conversation, every intent of the heart, everything that we see in our lives and in the lives of others, we must address. And when somebody is speaking something that they want to sound more knowledgeable than God, or that through their thoughts they tear down the wisdom of God, we have to, in love, in respect, in wisdom, explain to them that what they are saying does not compare to God's truth. You may not be a popular person around the table in holidays, or you may not be a popular person at the job because they know where you stand, but that is what we need to do. Christians, including those serving in public office, must understand that ideas do have consequences. Christians must also not think that compromise or reaching across the aisle in partnership and coming together in agreement on something, that it's equal to capitulation on the right values, that that's acceptable. That is not acceptable. And this is why we are in such trouble. People have capitulated on the right values, and now we have a mess in this nation. The humanists, the atheists, the leftists, and their associates, they want everything, and that's exactly how they fight. The born-again believers in Christ know that the reality of being influenced by Satan's ideas in culture, this does exist. And they identify with Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." End of quote. I can assure you, dear friends, that the founding fathers and the early patriots who stood up for the true meaning of freedom, the true values that set us free, that gave us this wonderful nation, they were not ashamed to declare where their values came from. And we can read it in their writings. And neither should we be afraid or ashamed of defending God's truth. No, you do not have to quote chapter and verse, because people don't know the Bible anyhow, but find a creative and wise way to put forth God's values wherever you are. And that is how we fight this spiritual warfare. We're going to continue with this topic, and I hope that you will join us next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.